Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Today in Chicago, superstar R&B singer R. Kelly heads to a hearing regarding new federal charges, including child pornography, obstruction of justice, and racketeering. The singer was arrested while walking his dog in Chicago last Thursday night and spent the weekend in custody. The new charges arrived in two separate indictments. One came from a federal grand jury in Chicago, but also one came from here in New York City. It was handed down from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of New York. A federal court hearing to address how to handle the two indictments and Kelly's extradition to New York was scheduled for yesterday, but that hearing was postponed and combined with R. Kelly's arraignment this afternoon. To explain the charges and where things stand now, I'm joined by criminal justice reporter Patrick Smith from WBEZ in Chicago, who is actually at the courthouse today, and Elizabeth Harris, culture reporter for the New York Times. Patrick and Elizabeth, welcome to All of It.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick, we're going to start with you. So you're at the courthouse now. What's happening there?
Well, right now, you know, there are a lot of camera guys in the lobby, cameramen and women in the lobby waiting for after the hearing when we expect to hear from R. Kelly's attorney. But mostly it's just me and a couple of reporters up here right now waiting to get into the courtroom so that we know we have a seat for this hearing that doesn't start for a few more hours.
So Kelly was taken into custody in Chicago on Thursday, Patrick, by Homeland Security investigating officers from New York and Chicago, as well as the NYPD. Why these three law enforcement entities?
Well, I don't know exactly why it was those three. I will say that it speaks to the sort of bizarre situation we're in here, where Kelly is facing cases in three different jurisdictions. You know, there was already an ongoing state case here in Illinois, 18 counts of sexual assault and abuse. Then we have the Chicago indictment that's 13 counts, and then the New York indictment that you talked about, 5 counts, including racketeering. And so it speaks to the fact that there's this sort of, I don't know if it's a battle yet, but there's a jurisdictional contest over who's going to get to try R. Kelly first. And it's rare. It's rare that you see separate federal jurisdictions file indictments against the same defendant around the same time. I'm not quite sure how that's all going to shake out.
What do we know about the judges in this case so far?
Well, I don't know Judge Leinenweber very well, so it's hard to know how he's going to decide. And we're expecting him to make a decision both on whether R. Kelly is going to be allowed to post bond today and whether he should be removed to New York. You know, I spoke to some legal experts yesterday who said the New York case is more serious because it's racketeering, but it's also more complex, and they think that the Chicago case will be easier for federal prosecutors to prove. So we'll see which one sort of wins out, both with prosecutors and what arguments they put forward in front of the judge today.
And Patrick, what is the Chicago case in a nutshell?
The Chicago case in a nutshell is that R. Kelly for years filmed himself sexually abusing minors, filmed himself over and over and over again, and then spent a lot of money and resources, used blackmail, coercion, to track down those tapes and destroy them in an effort to obstruct justice. And also, you know, he was on trial here in Chicago back in 2008 and was found not guilty by a jury. In the federal indictment, it says that he used bribery, blackmail, threats to prevent witnesses from testifying honestly at that trial. Basically, that he got himself off by lying and using illegal means, obstructing justice.
All right, Patrick, I'm going to ask you to hold on. I want to bring Elizabeth into this conversation. So, Elizabeth, we mentioned racketeering. I mean, we're talking about crimes usually associated with organized crime. Is R. Kelly the only person involved in these racketeering charges?
No, two people that have worked with him are involved in the, actually that's the Illinois case. There are two people involved who are employees of his, but there's the Brooklyn case sort of talks about what they call the enterprise, which is basically the organization around him that was built to recruit women and girls to engage in illegal sexual activity with him. And then he would exert control over them by obtaining sensitive information, the people around him would recruit and groom sexual partners, the indictment alleges, and things like that. There's a story in this one about a woman who goes to his recording studio, or maybe it was in the other one, I'm sorry which one, but this is, they're blending together, goes to the recording studio and her bag is searched. She's forced to sign a what she believes is a non-disclosure agreement that she's kept for days without food and water. And so there's this this incredible manipulation that the indictments are alleging goes on, in addition to all the other stuff.
And why is it coming out of New York?
Let's see. Well, a lot of cases kind of pass through New York, right? I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, he basically brought people through New York.
So he went across state lines.
Exactly. There's a lot about this, about crossing state lines for legal sexual activity. And if people were brought through New York at any point, then it can be charged here.
So, Patrick, I want to go back and ask, you know, in February, there was a lot of media coverage about his appearance in court there. How are these charges connected to what happened back in February?
Well, if you ask R. Kelly's attorney, he says there's a lot of overlap between these cases, that some of the victims are the same. He thinks these cases are largely the same. Prosecutors here in Cook County last told me yesterday that they are still reviewing the federal indictments to see if there's any overlap in victims. I will say, you know, the Chicago federal indictment has five alleged victims. The New York federal indictment has five alleged victims. And federal prosecutors have said there is no overlap between those two cases. So we know that there's at least 10, could be as many as 14 victims sort of wrapped up in these six separate cases going on right now.
My guests are criminal justice reporter Patrick Smith from WBEZ in Chicago and Elizabeth Harris from the New York Times. We're talking about R. Kelly, who is due in court later this afternoon. So, Elizabeth, you know, Patrick mentioned that R. Kelly went to trial over charges of child pornography back in 2008, was found not guilty. Is there any relationship between what we're seeing now and what happened in 2008?
Sure. There is a lot of detail in one of the indictments about him allegedly paying her family, and the girl, who's now a woman in her 30s, paying the girl and her family thousands of dollars, giving them, he gave her a Yukon Denali at some point, and instructing her and her family to lie to investigators on his behalf. And at trial in 2008, she and her family, her immediate family anyway, never testified against him, and he was acquitted. And part of what jurors who were interviewed afterwards said was, you know, we couldn't know for sure that that was her.
Man, this story is so thick. Elizabeth, you report that Homeland Security Investigations, the office began investigating R. Kelly after watching the documentary Surviving R. Kelly. But these allegations have been around for years. How much do you think that speaks to how things have changed since 2008 culturally?
Oh, sure. I think that's a huge shift, right? I mean, a lot of, you know, some of this information is new. A lot of it really isn't, as you say. But the cultural context of sort of what, you know, what people will put up with, where, you know, how much accountability is kind of called for publicly, the outrage things generates, you know, kind of the credibility lended to victims. You know, in the past, it was often sort of, oh, you know, he's famous and we love him and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, that's really shifted a lot.
Patrick, when Kelly was arrested in Chicago, he'd been living with two young women in Trump Tower there. What has happened to them since the arrest, these two young women?
I do not know what has happened to them since the arrest.
Are they connected to this at all?
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to speculate, and I have not reported on what's happened with them.
Okay. Elizabeth, Michael Avenatti, lawyer to Stormy Daniels, has himself been charged with fraud and extortion in two separate cases. He is somehow involved in this as well. He claims to represent three of the victims in the New York indictments. Are we going to be hearing from him? What do you know about this?
Well, he gave a press conference yesterday. Patrick, were you there by any chance? I wasn't, because I'm in New York, but I know he gave a press conference yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I was not at the press conference yesterday. I was monitoring it from here in Chicago. Yeah, there's a very bizarre sort of lawyer battle going on between R. Kelly's attorney and Michael Avenatti, and accusations being thrown across. He's been, you know, he's been a central role in bringing these forward. Other people have sort of described him as a distraction and sort of muddying things up.
So I'm going to ask both of you, is there something that hasn't been reported about this that you think is really significant that somehow is getting lost in the sauce and lost in some of the sort of headline grabbing details? Anything you can think of? What do you think, Patrick?
Well, I do think I think there's a few things that are important to look at. One is the importance of the work recently by survivors of the alleged abuse of R. Kelly coming forward and talking about this. You know, there was that documentary that you talked about that sparked our prosecutor here, our state's attorney here, to call out to other alleged victims to come forward with their stories. It was those alleged survivors, alleged victims telling their stories that sort of got this rolling again, as well as a really great reporter here in Chicago named Jim DeRogatis, who has kept this story going even when no one else was really paying attention to it.
What do you think, Elizabeth, something that we should be paying attention to?
I was going to say Jim DeRogatis. He has been at this story for about 20 years. He recently wrote a book. It just came out a couple months ago, and he's spoken to, I would assume, hundreds of people about this, and he's really tried to keep it in the papers and online. I mean, he wrote some stories in BuzzFeed. Was it last year or the year before that had a lot of the stuff that eventually kind of became the newer allegations in the Lifetime documentary? And he really deserves a lot of credit for this.
Well, you teed me up excellently because he's my next guest.
Great.
Patrick Smith from WBZ and Elizabeth Harris, a reporter for The New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us on All of It and sharing your reporting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming next, a conversation with journalist Jim DeRogatis. He's been covering the allegations against R. Kelly for 2 decades. Stay with us. More after the break.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.